it's something I could never even imagine. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just a huge upgrade, like opening doors and possibilities of, oh, we can maybe do that again. Oh, we can do something else. It's never imagined being able to do some of these things.
Brad, when you get that bot, we're buddies, don't forget.
No. No.
Here we go.
No.
Okay, bye. So we have Brad Smith on the podcast. Brad Smith is the third Neuralink patient. He has a condition called ALS, and he has been trialing Neuralink for the last few weeks. And we have the distinct honor of having him and his wonderful wife.
Hey, glad to be here, even if I'm just a brain in a jar now.
Yes. So this is going to be an epic freaking podcast. For those that are watching this, you'll see on the screen, yes, we're going to be sharing Brad's interface with you through this interview, which is just such a unique concept that we have here. For those that are not familiar, Neuralink is a device that basically allows a human to have a brain interface that allows them to use their brain.
This Neuralink stuff might make you jealous enough to sign up for your own implant. Yeah,
I think we're going to have a lot of people watching. They'll be like, I want one of these right now.
Are we talking about this tech, or do you think my brain's going to start a podcast of its own?
I mean, bro, we're doing a podcast right now, Brad. Look at that. You're already a pro. So Brad and I are actually communicating right now. So Brad has this interface on his screen that is, as you can see at the top there, it looks like it's actively listening to my voice, and it's understanding what I'm saying. And then Brad has the ability to either select from a, looks like some sort of pre-selected sort of AI derived answers based on what I'm saying. And then he can select different sort of emojis at the bottom there, like the funny clown face or like the nerdy face or whatever, to try and give him different context of how he wants to respond. And then the voice that is replying with, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, I believe I have this correctly, it's your voice, right?
Interface is quite the tool. Shall we dive into how it's changing my life?
Sure. Then we have Hans from the car. Should we start with some of the questions, Brad? Should we get into some other stuff? What do you want to do?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So we have a list of questions we've put together for Brad. And we're going to go ahead and start asking them. And then we're also going to interact with Brad. And again, we're going to have the screen on up for y'all to see how Brad works through his answers and how he uses his interface using Neuralink. Again, just I want to drive home this point for everybody, yes, watching right now. This is Brad's brain. Brad's brain is doing this, y'all. Okay? This is not a mouse, like with a hand. This is Brad's wonderful, powerful brain, okay, going through and using Neuralink, and everything he's doing right now is using his brain. And right now, this is his actual brain right here, right? Those are all the electrodes, I guess, and like the different waves it's capturing and stuff. Right, Hans? You're the super, yep, nerdy one. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of little wires that are stuck down in Brad's brain, and each wire has a little opening on it, a whole bunch of different places along the length of the wire. And so everywhere there's one of those openings, that's a spot where that electrode can actually read the brain waves that are actually traveling through the neurons that are nearby. And so what we're seeing there is different neurons spiking at different times as he is using the device. And it's just really crazy for us to actually have this type of ability to not only be able to read what is happening inside of the brain, but to be able to take that and do useful things with it.
This tech is a game changer for communication. Want to discuss its potential?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started with the first question we put out there for you, Brad. And again, thank you and Tiffany for making the time for us. This is just, again, it's such an honor. This is like, man, it's like, it feels like the future, right? And so like, at least from my perspective, I'm sure Hans can say the same. I'm sure the audience watching this right now, we're all like, this feels like 2150, the year 2150. So we'll ask you with sort of the question, does it feel like you're living in the future?
Yep. And I'm basically the Terminator, except exactly the opposite of Arnold. Even when I could walk, I was never anything special in the body department. But I'm really excited to have Neuralink in my head.
That's awesome. And for those that are watching this, so we gave Brad a list of questions beforehand where he was able to go through and sort of walk through his, you know, how, like, his answers. Because from a logistics perspective, obviously, if we do, if we ask him every question on the planet that we want to ask him, of course, yeah, dude, it's our pleasure. You know, it might take a while. So what we did is we gave him a set of questions, and then Brad actually went through and, like, literally wrote us a novel of all his answers. And then he used 11 Labs to recreate the answers using his voice, his actual voice. So what you hear is Brad's real voice.
I don't get out much.
Right? So he's got all this time to write all these answers, and now we're on a podcast doing it together. Time well spent. So you do feel like living in, I mean, it's like, for me, if I ask you that question, it's like,
yes.
If you answer any other way, I'm going to be like, I don't believe you. Of course you feel like you're living in the future. Let me ask you the next question, Brad. How familiar were you with technologies like Neuralink before you partnered with Neuralink and went through your procedure?
I have been following Neuralink since I was diagnosed with ALS. I was the weirdo making comments on every video and post about Neuralink. I was really hoping that they would talk about ALS, not just injuries. I also gave a presentation to Synchron on the challenges of ALS and eye gaze. They are way behind Neuralink in functionality, but the solution is cool. I even looked at external BCI, which is like trying to follow a football game from outside the stadium.
External BCI. Okay, so is this... are you familiar with that, Hans?
Yeah, so BCI stands for brain-computer interface, and when... Like the Neuralink is an internal brain computer interface because it has the electrodes that are actually down inside the brain tissue and it can read the signals directly from nearby. There are some technologies that allow you to try and either through imaging, see blood flow inside the brain or through radio signals would, try to read what the brain is doing. But since it's, like you said, it's outside the thing. It's like trying to follow a football game from outside of the stadium. You know, there's a lot that's going on in there, and it's a lot easier to see what it is that's going on in there when you're actually inside. So the same way that it's hard to do that from outside of a football stadium, it's also hard to read brain signals from outside of the head. And so, yeah, that's one of the big challenges and one of the big breakthroughs of something like Neuralink. And Neuralink's not the first BCI to actually allow that internal stuff. It's something called a Utah array that's like 100, I think, electrodes roughly, that they, you know, with big, they're like almost like nails. And so they would hammer this thing into the brain and it would basically stab you 100 times. And then they could get a little bit of information about what's going on in the brain, just right at the tips of those 100 nails, essentially.
That's intense. How does that compare to Neuralink's approach?
So on Neuralink, they have, so I'm not sure, how many threads do you have, Brad? Let me look up your answer to that question.
I think 64.
64 is correct.
Yeah.
64. Okay. So he's got the 1,000 electrodes roughly.
1,024, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. 6 points on each of the 64 electrodes.
Yes. Yeah. So he's got 64 different wires that have been threaded into his brain by a special surgery robot. And those
four threads, I'm just waiting for the day I can stream my thoughts directly to X.
See, that'll be so much easier. I mean, this is a great interface that you have, Brad, but yeah, being able to stream directly, that'll be even another level up. So yeah, those threads that they have put into his brain, they're much less intrusive. So, you know, you go from the Utah array, which is, like I said, it's like a small nail. And each thread is just a few microns wide. So very, very thin. And they're able with this robot to place it, you know, several millimeters deep into the brain. And they're so thin and flexible that they can actually go around all of the blood vessels that are in the brain so that they don't do any damage. And so they can place them close by areas of his brain that are very active to do things like moving his hand. And, you know, there are different areas of your brain control different things. And so they want to locate it somewhere that it's easy to for him to use.
With 64 threads, I'm basically a human router. When's the upgrade to 5G?
Yeah. Yeah, so he has so much more bandwidth than a Utah. That's really the biggest difference, is he's got tons more ability to interact and control things because there's so many more, you know, it's 10 times more electrodes. And they're not only are there more electrodes, but they're closer to different things that he's trying to do. And so it just makes his ability to control everything way, 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 way higher than something like a Utah array.
Yes.
It's so crazy how
best note for explaining this tech.
Yes. I have been a nerd about this stuff for a long time.
And again, like, this is like to drive home the point for the audience here. So, like, if you really think about this, you know, it's and Brad, I mean, truly is a hero for this. You know, he has ALS. Before Neuralink, his ability to interface like this with people, like, say on a podcast right now. So we have a podcast. I've been
out of the brain tech for years, Hans.
You guys are best friends.
I can only imagine.
Yes.
And so the fact that Brad is able to...
And I'm basically a cyborg now. Should I start calling you my tech support?
Basically. Although I think you've got a pretty good team there with Neuralink.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Let's go back to some of the questions Farzad has.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. And it's just, but again, like, I can't get over how mind blowing this is that we're having a back and forth conversation with Brad right now. It's like the audience needs to understand that this is a live conversation with Brad using Neuralink. The technology is just incredible.
Thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, Rebellionaire. Rebellionaire is an investment and finance firm that gets Tesla investors. We know a lot of you are Tesla investors and you watch this channel to learn more about the company, learn more about Elon Musk and what he's doing. But Rebellionaire is unique because they're not just like any other firm where they might be hesitant to bring on people like yourself that might have an outsized Tesla position or are huge believers in one story like Tesla. Usually you'll get the cold shoulder from these guys, but Rebellionaire is different. They understand and they work for you to really succeed with the plan you have while having an outsized Tesla position. They do very unique research around the company. They do cross-country FSD trips. They have very innovative ways of tracking things like the energy sector of the company. They're just very unique in their approach and understand investors that would be interested in companies like Tesla.
And one of the reasons why they understand investors like you is because they are investors like you. Matt Smith and Bradford Ferguson are retail shareholders of Tesla themselves. And so not only are they registered financial advisors, but they also understand this specific type of retail investor strategy very well. Plus, as registered financial advisors, they understand the more complicated strategies that a lot of times are a little bit more difficult for retail investors to understand. Great strategies around offering covered calls or trimming and adding Tesla positions to help you really maximize your long-term value from your outsized Tesla position.
And so if that's something that's interesting to you, go out and check them out at rebellionaire.com/Farzad, rebellionaire.com/Farzad. And that way they'll know that we sent you. Now back to the podcast.
What was the process like to reach out and get approved?
It was a combination of luck, location, and self-promotion. Neuralink has a patient portal for interested people that opened a few years ago, and I jumped on it. I was following closely. It was a huge win that it happened in Arizona near where I live. I got an email in early 2024 from a Neuralink representative, and I started a campaign of shameless self-promotion. I really wanted this. I had to do a bunch of tests and scans. 3 hours in an MRI is no joke. I also had to do a bunch of psychological tests to make sure I was not suicidal. They also had to set a baseline to make sure I did not lose intelligence or ability. It turns out that I was one of the first people to apply on the patient registry. So they had read about me for years. I think I was chosen because I was local to the hospital and I was technical with computers. I could not be patient two because I am on a ventilator. They had to wait until the FDA report on patient two, but I had the distinct impression that I was the front runner for patient three. The hospital even asked me if hypothetically I would be available in the first week of November. They received FDA approval in late October 2024, and I was in surgery 2 weeks later.
Wow. So it was like you said, sort of a combination of luck,
yes,
the right fit, and then but once they got that FDA approval, they had you in there like that. Within 2 weeks, they were able to give you Neuralink.
Yes.
So you've been testing this since late November, ish. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. So December, January, February, March, April. So this is month 7 of having Neuralink. Now, the one thing we'll lose by sharing the tab, Brad, on your end, is that we won't be able to see the rest of your
yes.
screen. We'll just see the audio responses. So maybe what we'll do is we'll ask you the questions, then we can always, on post editing, we will go in and move stuff around as
yes.
needed, just so because we have the tab open. So we'll go through that. And then maybe we'll do some follow-ups with the chat. Maybe we'll get to learn more about your interface. If that works with you, what do you think?
Yes.
Perfect. Let's do the next question. So what are the biggest differences you've experienced before and after Neuralink, both positive and negative?
I can't really think of anything negative about the experience. Maybe the 3 hours in the MRI was pretty negative. On the positive side, I am already tired of eye gaze. It is so much better to not worry about lighting changes. I left Phoenix for the first time since early 2020. I can talk outside and in the bumpy bus. I finally have a decent computer to use. So there are many things that I love about Neuralink.
That's awesome. Yeah, so the lighting changes is one that it's hard to describe, I guess,
yes.
because... So maybe Hans or Brad, whichever wants to take this one. The lighting changes is more about like the actual disrupting the interface and being able to communicate with whatever you're trying to communicate. Is that correct?
Yeah, my understanding, Brad, from what I've watched of the different interviews that you've done so far, is that the eye gaze computer needs to be in a very dark space in order to be able to, because it bounces light directly off the back of your retinas, and in order to see exactly where your eyes are pointing.
Yes.
And so that's very difficult to do outside, which means you've basically been trapped in a dark room inside of your house for the last 4 years, basically, or maybe even longer. And you know, one of the reasons that it's hard to go out, not only
yes.
because it's hard to use the computer when he's out, but if he needs help, this is his only mode of communication. And so if he needs to go to the bathroom, if he needs to do anything and get some assistance, he can't actually ask for that assistance or let anyone know what's going on when he's out and about with eye gaze. And so with the Neuralink, since it doesn't necessarily end up being confined to only working in a dark space, he can go outside, he can still communicate,
yes,
and he can always, you know, let his wife or his family know what is going on and what he needs at any point in time.
Got it. So He's not directly dependent on his surroundings and its conditions. He can communicate in any condition, any sort of external condition, as long as he has a capability of hooking up to his computer and being able to use that as the interface.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, and now he's able to use a Mac. The computer that worked with the iGaze was a much less high quality Windows machine.
Yes.
So he was trapped into an ecosystem with iGaze, and iGaze had a shit computer, basically.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, and I think another thing about iGaze that we don't think about is if his head's moving or the machine itself is moving, then the tracking is off. So as one of the kids is sitting on his lap, or they're, you know, trying to get his attention and holding onto his arm or touching him, it moves him or the eye gaze, and then it's lost its calibration.
Got it.
And then how long does it take to fix that calibration then if it gets off?
Well, if we're moving or moving in the wheelchair and there's a motion happening, then it doesn't work.
Yep.
Or it just takes a minute or two to recalibrate. But if, you know.
But you have to stop, and be still.
Yeah, he doesn't move very much. It's other people moving him, you know.
Yeah.
They're holding onto his chair, shaking it because they're so excited to tell him something and he can't respond. An 8-year-old is excitedly holding on to the pole that braces the eye gaze.
It takes about a minute to recalibrate, but I need to be still for it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Yeah, that was okay. So that's very good to know. So it's almost like, so it's the external forces that would have prevented Brad from communicating before with eye gaze now are basically removed with like Neuralink. Okay.
Yep. So now he can communicate with his family much faster, much more in depth, and in any environment.
Awesome. Win-win-win, as they would say. Awesome.
Yes.
Let's do the next question here. How has your worldview changed since getting Neuralink?
I don't think my worldview has changed. I have been through enough stuff in my life that I have absolute confidence in who I am. First of all, I am a child of God who loves me. I have parents and siblings who are amazing and who love me. Tiffany is the best person I have ever known, and we are married for eternity. My kids love me and give me hugs. That is what really matters. I don't think a chip in my head makes any difference in how I see myself. Neuralink is just a tool.
And that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear. It's like
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Brad, for sharing that. It's like these technological improvements we're seeing, and not even just like Neuralink, but really anything out there that's helping people communicate or helping people move around. I think a lot of us, like if I'm going to speak for myself, like when I, you know, let's say 20, 30, 40 years ago, before these technologies were available, like Brad and I think it would have been impossible for any of us to have a back and forth conversation. And to sort of hear this kind of answer from somebody that would have been impossible for me to speak to, like, Brad, y'all, we're all the same. Like, we're all people. We're all people. We're all humans. It doesn't really matter what sort of challenges we might be facing, however severe or you know, however incapacitated we may be from a physical perspective or whatever. We're still people. The soul is in there. Like, we still have
absolutely. We're all children of God facing trials together with faith.
Mm-hmm. I love it, man. It's such a beautiful thing to hear. Hans, did you have any commentary there?
Yeah, I just, you know, I can't imagine being trapped inside of my body and having the limitations that you have, Brad, to be able to communicate with people. And while I do have a relationship with the Lord as well, it's hard for me to know how I would respond in a situation like that. So it is a beautiful testimony and example that you have been able to hang on to your faith through something that's this difficult. And I'm sure there are lots of times when you've been frustrated in your relationship with the Lord, but
my testimony of the Lord's plan helps me endure with hope.
Exactly.
It's awesome, man. I think, you know, Hans and I talk about this often. You know, he's you both are much more closely closer to faith, closer to God from your perspective. I'm going through my own journey. I've grew up sort of agnostic and still going through my journey, but I'm always so like so deeply moved by people like you, Brad, and sort of listening to Hans and listening how connected y'all are to God and your higher power and sort of how it motivates you and inspires you. It's always such a beautiful thing to hear.
Paths, but the Savior's love binds us as we grow closer to Him.
I love it, man. And it's just it's always very inspiring. It's like, it gives me goosebumps every time. And it's like, even for me, like somebody who's not particularly religious, it's just, I feel the love and I feel the connectedness to the universe and the,
thank you.
You know, and the bigness. So I really, and I know it's very personal for y'all to share stuff like this. And it's just, yeah, it's an honor to hear y'all share it. Truly. It's very moving. Ooh, okay. oh man. Ever since having a kid, my testosterone is like at zero. So I want to cry like freaking everything. Okay. Let me see if I can pull myself together here. Okay. Let's do the next question. What is the biggest thing you didn't think was possible that now is with Neuralink?
I finally traveled out of Arizona. I was basically stuck in my house before Neuralink. We got a shuttle bus because it was cheaper than a wheelchair van and outfitted with Starlink. And we drove to Utah last week. It was great to see family and friends who we have not seen since Christmas 2019. That would have been impossible with eye gaze because it is really sensitive to position and light. But Neuralink is not sensitive to a bumpy bus. It was great. We might just take more road trips. Maybe we can do an Elon trip to Fremont and Austin.
Dude, come on down to Austin next month. We'll get into the robotaxi. Let's do it. We are so hype for this thing next month. Yes. Elon, if you watch this, get Brad in Austin next month. He should be the first robotaxi ride. Okay. And make sure you put him in the best one you have. Okay. Let's make sure like we don't have any like, you know,
I think I see a robo van in Brad's future.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, I was telling Nolan when he came on, I think every Neuralink patient should get a free human or robot. And the human or robot, the bot, should be linked to Neuralink. And y'all have your, like, it's like a little, like, thank you very much for helping us develop the technology. Here's a human or robot. Elon, come on, bro. You can afford it. We can do it. Us shareholders will fund it. I will sell shares to make this happen, okay? Whatever you need. You want me to donate shares to the company? We'll make it happen. But that's like, in all seriousness, like, it really just...
Linked to Neuralink? Elon, if you're listening, I'm high maintenance enough to need that upgrade.
I'm saying, bro, the robo van, that let's fill them up with human or robots in there, bro. Let's just get you hooked up. Let's get you hooked up. It really, but in all seriousness, like
that robo van, I'm ready to roll in style.
Let's go. But that is another example of the, again, like just something as simple as being in a bus and going through bumps and again, like, is it sunny outside? Is it dark outside? The world is now open. The world now has opened up to Brad, and being able to communicate and interface with technology and people around him and family and everything, that door has opened up. So that's absolutely fantastic to hear. Perfect. Let's do...
Yeah, Neuralink is basically my superhero cape now.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. It really is awesome. It's, and again, like the fact that we're having a podcast together, we've been chatting for the last 40 minutes and it's like literally just like any other podcast, you know, much better actually, because this one's freaking like ridiculously awesome. Shout out every other guest. We love you too, but Brad's our special one. Okay. He is the bomb. He's the GOAT.
No, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Let's do, so here's the last one from me, and then Hans, I'll let you ask the other ones because I see that you've You've put the names at the top. You had to do it. I love it. Okay. Is this something you recommend for people that are in your shoes, Brad?
That is a personal decision, but I have had a great experience. I am really happy with the whole experience. I felt totally safe with the barrel surgery team. I don't have any reservations. If you are interested, go to the Neuralink website and fill out the application.
Love it. We'll make sure to put a link for that below. Look at that, dude. Brad, you should start a YouTube channel. You're already plugging stuff, bro. Look at that. Go to the Neuralink website. You're like, it's like a sponsor. I love it.
He already has two YouTube channels.
That's true.
He's a pro.
You gotta start plugging them. Gotta start plugging them. Okay, perfect. Let's go, Hans. You wanna? Are you able to pull up the questions on your side? I know you're.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. I can. It's probably easiest for us to just go through these in order. So, how many hours per week do you work with the Neuralink research and development team on average?
For the first few weeks after I was allowed to charge the implant, we worked together nonstop. They came to my house in the morning and sat around my bed for a few hours. Then they went away for a few hours while we get up and showered. Then we met again in the afternoon and into the evening. One engineer said that he would rather be in my bedroom than anywhere else in the world. I was ready to help Neuralink as much as possible. After the first week, we asked for Sunday off. We did this until Christmas. Sometimes we had 5 or 6 Neuralink engineers in my kitchen, including DJ, the president. It was crazy. After the new year, we did a little less in person and started doing more remote sessions. By February, we were almost all remote. We started meeting only once per day and eventually not every day. Right now, I am pretty stable, so I only meet with the Neuralink team for specific needs. I know that they are working hard on different things. Neuralink never stops.
Man, that's awesome. How long do you expect to continue with them at the level that you're at now?
Neuralink is trying to scale the process, and 6 to 8 hours a day is not scalable. The team learned a lot from my unique needs, but it is not a good way to grow. In Tesla terms, I am the prototype, except that the Neuralink prototype is not easy. Because I have to tell Neuralink everything about the product. Imagine designing a car that you can't drive. The development is all dependent on monkeys, pigs, and 3 quadriplegics, one of whom can't talk. Mm-hmm. So it is hard to grow, but I think they will do it.
Yeah, it's always interesting to sort of see, and then Hans, of course, feel free to sort of jump in and ask any follow-ups after the questions, but it's always fascinating to see. It's like regardless of what the technology is or what the sort of like thing that like Musk industry works on. Because, you know, like I know the three of us follow Tesla very closely. We follow SpaceX very closely, like Musk industry. But like even with Neuralink, the approach is so similar from like a building the business perspective. Is like, you know, like yes. The commentary you just made, Brad, like prototypes are, you know, easy. Production is hard. But Neuralink, the prototype's also hard because it's such a groundbreaking sort of method of creating a BCI, a brain computer interface. But the it's all about ramp, right? You would think about other medical companies and other companies that are trying to make groundbreaking product. This tech sort of startup culture that is employed in Musk industry also applies to, it seems like, Neuralink. It's like, how can we get this thing to get to a point where we can, you know, instead of doing one every couple months or one every 4 months, we want to get to one a month, and then one a week, then one a day, then one an hour, then one a minute, right? And it's all about creating that feedback loop that allows them to do that. And so hearing that.
Absolutely.
That,
let's crank out Neuralink implants like they're hotcakes.
Exactly, right? And that's what's going to make the long-term difference, truly.
Yeah, and it's not just about the
I'm all in for turning Neuralink device. Into the next big thing. Just don't call me Iron Man yet.
Okay. Yep. One of the things that Brad said there that's important is, you know, like obviously the surgery, like they'll have to be able to scale up surgeries and implants and being able to manufacture enough Neuralinks to be able to do those. But that's only one half of the equation. Like the process of a patient getting onboarded and training the system and learning how to use the system all of that is also important. And yeah, if it takes, you know, several months worth of human labor hours in order to get somebody onboarded,
crucial to making this accessible to more people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Tesla is thinking about
manufacturing is only part of it. The real challenge is making onboarding smooth for everyone.
Exactly.
I'm excited to push Neuralink forward, but we need to ensure onboarding doesn't become a bottleneck.
Yeah, and that the variables there, you know, as you've sort of walked through, is being able to gather the feedback, right? Gather mm-hmm. the feedback, making sure that the process to feedback is smooth, making sure the collection of feedback is efficient, making sure that the targeting of the type of feedback they're looking for is identified and it's truly value add for the development, right? So it, from that sense, is like what are it's like when Tesla trains FSD and they're looking for exceptions, right? When they're looking to make the driving better, they, as it gets better and better, it becomes more and more difficult to find the things that they have to get better at. Mm-hmm. But even like if you look at patient one with Noland all the way to Brad, I'm sure they've had sort of a cadence of, okay, we know this works now, let's find the next thing. Okay, we know this works now, yep. let's find the next thing.
Yes.
But it's so early in the game still, we're still only at three, right? So it's like the challenge of...
It's all exceptions at this point. Like they don't have enough experience yet to have like, okay, this is the core part of the process. And then, you know, we can make this slight accommodation for this thing that don't normally deal with. Yeah, at this stage of the game, it's just all new pretty much for every patient. And I think that this is going to be one of the challenges with Neuralink as a medical device for people who have different types of injuries or conditions, is that so many of those are going to be unique. And so
true, they like need more experience to distinguish between core needs and unique adjustments.
Yep. And that's hard. You know, I think that with driving,
prioritizing adaptability now will help more than locking in a core process.
Yes. Exactly. And the reason for that is that, you know, with something like driving, yes, maybe the situation...
balancing adaptability with some core principles even now.
Yeah, so on something like driving, you know, there's a lot of... it's very known what the core things are going to be, and it's easy to identify what parts are the edge cases. And I think it's going to be, to Brad's point, a lot of variability with the Neuralink device, and so it's going to maybe be a slower process. And then obviously medical is going to be a more intense regulatory environment too. So there's going to be a lot of things that make this hard to scale Thank up you. Quickly.
Hit the next one.
Sorry if I came across as rude just now. I didn't mean to.
No. Yeah. You got a much
real
more
far.
Difficult situation. Yeah. To say what you need to say. So whenever you're done, just go ahead and throw it in there and we'll handle on the back end, trying to make it smooth.
I don't think there's anything you could do ever, Brad, for us to feel offended at anything.
So let's see. How long have you been following Elon Musk and his companies, and what was it that originally got you interested in the Muskonomy?
I am a huge fan of Elon and all of his companies. I love innovation and engineering, and he has driven both more than anyone in my lifetime. I am still hoping for a self-driving van to take some pressure off my wife. Wheelchair vans need disruption. They are awful. I don't agree with everything he does or says, but he is really smart and works really hard. I want my boys to see that and look up to him. I bought a Model S back in 2017. It was my dream car. It only had AP1, but I loved it on road trips. I was able to drive to work 6 months longer than I would have without that very basic autopilot. Mm. I even made a proposal for the Boring Company to connect the major ski resorts in Utah, which would be cheaper than the gondola for just two of them.
Mm.
I have been really bored right up until early November.
Yeah, and I think as we're tracking the self-driving release with Tesla here in the next month, the one thing that I keep in mind... being reminded of is like the game-changing nature of self-driving vehicles mm-hmm. and the amount of freedom that opens up for the entire family, the entire support structure around people that would benefit from that, right? So yeah, that means that, you know, if Brad had access to a self-driving van or a self-driving car or whatever, That means Brad can, you know, travel theoretically on his own if he has, you know, enough of a technological tool set around him for him to do that. But then on the other side is like Tiffany and other support systems around Brad and anyone else who have, you know, a member that would need that kind of help. Their time is freed up as well. They don't have to drive anymore, right? So it's like what other? It's almost like you're opening up so much value add to the support system by quote unquote automating away some of these core functions that might make it difficult for.
Game changer, allowing more freedom for both me and those who assist me.
Exactly. So it's just such a huge, and then so doing that at scale affordably is the real game changer, right? Because if a self-driving van,
this technology truly enhances independence for everyone involved.
Exactly. It has to be in the millions of units at a low cost, so that those that can actually take advantage of it, right? Because it doesn't even have to be somebody that's, let's say, has a condition that might prevent them from moving around. But it's just like elderly care, just like people in their later stages of life, like
or kids.
Or kids, right? People that just can't drive, regardless if it's age, medical condition, or whatever.
Yes,
that TAM, that total addressable market, yes, is ginormous. It's so big. And it would benefit so tremendously from, yes, affordable transportation that's autonomous, you know?
And I love his point about the Boring Company being able to do the ski resorts. I hadn't really ever run the numbers on it like that to see how it's cost competitive. And the more that they can get out there, yes, and put boring tunnels in places, I think the faster that, yes, technology will progress. And I think right now the big hang up is still mostly permitting, which is crazy, but hopefully that, yes, will start to come down here in the near future.
Thank you.
So in your great episode with Ryan on the Neuropod, you mentioned that you had started several random companies while you were using your eye gaze device, which is super impressive, Brad. And you did all that before you received your Neuralink. You've also said that these companies provide work for other people, but you haven't really made any significant amount of money off of them yet. How do you think that your Neuralink implant will change the way that you're able to be involved in these companies once you have the time to get re-engaged with them again?
The biggest problem with ALS is boredom. I am a doer. My sister has collected funny signs from our travels around the world. She always wanted to make t-shirts out of them, so I did it with Amazon. I found a designer in Bangladesh to help. It doesn't make money, but he sure loves the work. And I made a box for mason jars and sell them on masonjarbox.com. I found a local box manufacturer that makes the parts. For assembly, we use a nonprofit that gives jobs to people with disabilities. After fees and shipping and competition, there is not much profit. Even with Neuralink, I don't think I can do a real job. Not to say that you and Farzad don't do a real job. It would be more work for Tiffany than me. I'm not able to do a real productive job.
We'll have good news for you, Brad. We don't
have a real job.
This is not a job. Yeah, this is really fun. I mean, it's, I don't even know how to describe it. But That's actually helpful to understand. Masonjarbox.com. We'll make sure to have a link for that in the description, yes, in the comment section below, just to make sure that people have access to that in case you want to support. Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you for sharing that.
All right, back to Elon-related questions. What Elon project are you the most excited about besides Neuralink, and why?
Obviously, Tesla and SpaceX are the most exciting, but I don't think the Boring Company gets enough attention. It is kind of a boring area, pun intended, but I think it has huge potential in so many areas. I mentioned my idea for Utah. 6 different ski resorts are really close to each other on the map, but an hour or more apart by road, especially in the winter. You could connect Park City, Deer Valley, Alto, Snowbird, Solitude, and Brighton easily through the mountain with tunnels.
Yep.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, Hans, as you were discussing it before, the regulation piece You know, this is something that we've experienced in this country in the past too, from our perspective. It's like, from my perspective anyway, as we studied the different companies and sort of what the company's trying to do with the current administration and all that stuff, it does seem like there is a huge unlock for the economy and just for innovation and different technologies if we are able to smartly deregulate and actually allow innovative companies to go to work. And tunnels, like to your perfect example, Brad, it's like that. I would have never in a million years thought that would be a good use case for tunnels in ski resort areas and ski areas and mountainous areas, but it makes so much sense. It's so much safer, so much more cost effective, so much more efficient, so much faster. The winds are insane.
Yeah, think about just like all of the snow that you don't have to plow. And all of the people that get wrecks on mountain roads that you don't have to worry about with boring tunnels. Like, there are a lot of winds, and I think really the main challenge is how hard is it to actually do the tunneling through what is typically very, very hard rock. But you know, that's a challenge that has been solved.
Totally. Tunnels in ski areas are genius, safer and faster, no doubt.
Yep. Yeah, and then for people that don't understand, when you're trying to travel from this valley on a mountain over to the valley that literally would be, you know, a 5-minute helicopter ride, you might have to travel all the way out of that valley, go around, and then come back up. And so it can be an hour, 2 hours worth of driving.
Exactly. Tunnels could turn a treacherous mountain trek into a quick joy ride.
Absolutely. It makes a ton of sense.
Honestly, tunnels are the only way I'd survive a ski trip without becoming a human snowball.
Same. I have a story about freaking skiing, and if there were tunnels available for me to go up and down the mountain in case I can't snowboard anymore, I would have taken that. my only time in the mountain was me trying to learn how to snowboard, and I kept falling on my ass. Like, literally, I would stand up. It was my first time ever snowboarding on a mountain. Like, first time on a mountain.
Save you from turning into a Yeti on those icy slopes.
Dude, literally, like, I could not keep my balance. And I would stand up for 1 second, fall over. Stand up for 1 second, fall over. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I just walked the rest of it. It took me like 2.5 hours to come down the mountain. And there was all these kids, just children going on their skis, and I'm feeling like such a loser.
I'm all for tunnels. Beats becoming the next viral ski fail video.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to be famous.
Yeah, you're probably in one of those videos, Farzad.
I'm sure I am.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's. I think deregulation and allowing things like tunnels to really proliferate, that would be a huge win for all of us. And then couple that with self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. If you make the tunnel wide enough and you're able to just have transportation access and you use
tunnels of the future. Let's just hope they don't turn into giant snow globes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Great points.
I'm sold on tunnels as long as they don't double as an ice rink.
Yeah. That would be not good.
Just a little bit of regulation there to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. The All In podcast with Doug Burgum this last week, you know, he was talking as the Secretary of the Interior about a lot of the different things that we need to deregulate. And I'm not sure if tunnel permitting is handled. I would assume it's handled mostly at the state and city level. So maybe not something that the Department of the Interior has a lot of direct control over. But it would be great to hear them provide some sort of a national framework for tunneling, especially, I think eventually that we will have tunnels that do connect city to city and state to state, in which case they could actually start to be regulated under the Interstate Commerce Acts at the federal level. And that might be something that could really accelerate our ability to install these and build them out. But really, I think once we have one big major city, whether it's Austin, whether it's Las Vegas, just really go full out on having boring tunnels, and it solves a lot of the congestion issues, then I think that you'll see a lot of the other cities around the country get on board and it kind of be a snowball.
The economic forcing function is too big.
Yep.
That is my dream interview.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get him.
How well have you gotten to know Noland and any of the other Neuralink patients?
I have texted with both Noland and Alex. I reached out to Noland when I was chosen as P3. He was so kind and generous with his time. He did a FaceTime with my family and his mom, Mia. They were awesome. I text with Alex, even playing a little prank on the Neuralink team. It is a fun little club.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you three are like the most exclusive club on the planet. Y'all probably are like, have your own little like conversations with Neura. In my head, I'm like, oh, these guys are connected, you know, like they're connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
They probably will be at some point, and that'll be crazy when you can just mind meld your thoughts between you and Noland and Alex.
And if they each get a human or robot. Maybe I should recall my idea. I'm kidding. These three are going to take over the world.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah. Damn, the plan
he
is
he told out. Us he was the Terminator.
He did. You know what? He led with that. He led with it. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Next question. In what ways is ALS similar to Noland's quadriplegia, and in what ways is it different?
ALS is a really weird disease that slowly kills my motor neurons. It develops over months and years. I lost control of my body over about 2 years, finally getting a tracheostomy and needing a ventilator to breathe for me. Noland has a spinal cord injury. It happened suddenly, and I think he lost all sensation below his neck. I can still feel my whole body. I just can't move anything but my eyes and a little mouth. He can talk. I can't. He has neck control. I am a total ragdoll sack of sand. ALS is weird.
Yeah, not
I need to cough.
Distinction of the fact that
yes.
You know, you don't have control of your body, but you actually can feel everything. That is a very unique situation. And how does that change your ability to provide, you know, interesting information to Neuralink? What are some of the future functions of Neuralink that you are most excited for in terms of giving you back capabilities that you once had?
I am most excited about driving my wheelchair. It would take a lot of pressure off of Tiffany, who has to drive me everywhere. It is still waiting on the FDA to approve it. But the recent approval for speech decoding is taking a lot of time. That would also be cool if it helps me communicate.
Oh, wow. I hadn't really thought about the regulatory
yes.
approvals and how that's impacting your ability just to have
yes.
Neuralink add functions.
Yes.
So is this like a safety step to make sure that the connection between the physical object and the Neuralink are able to communicate properly? Otherwise, like if there's a glitch or something like you want to prevent any sort of accidents, I guess. Is the idea here. I guess if I'm
yes.
thinking about it from that perspective. Yeah. Okay. Is there a timeline? Do you know what kind of timeline there is for something like that to be approved? Is it generally months, years?
I'm not sure on the exact timeline, but these approvals can take months to years depending on the testing and safety data.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. That would be such a I think that again opens up this sort of thing that I believe we talked about Noland about this too, is like when you
I'm
think
trying
about,
to stay patient, but man, I can't wait to drive myself again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
And I can imagine how frustrating that would be when you know that
then,
like the technology is there. Yeah. But you're literally just waiting on paperwork essentially. I mean, I know it's more than paperwork, but to the extent that it is just paperwork, that's extra frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm just dreaming of the day I can zoom around without being Tiffany's personal cargo. Can't wait to roll solo again. Being Tiffany's VIP passenger is getting old fast.
I'm sure Tiffany loves it. You know, I'm sure it's a
yeah.
That would be so cool. It would be so cool to have a capability like that. It's like, you're very welcome. The thing that I keep trying to like drive on for the audience is, if you think about and Elon talks about this all the time, obviously, but the interaction we usually have with a physical object, like a wheelchair or a car or whatever, it's just our brain communicating with that physical vehicle by using our hands or our feet or whatever. But those same exact signals that are being sent for the brain can be interpreted or converted into motion by that physical object if it knows how to read what you're trying to tell it. And that middle layer is what Neuralink allows for with both hardware and software, right? The hardware piece is the actual thread. And then the software piece is some sort of artificial intelligence.
Hey, if you need to hurry up, I'd be doing wheelies by now.
That's what I'm saying, right? And then we'll put that shit on YouTube and you'll have a trillion views. Like, you know, first Neuralink wheelie.
Yeah.
You know? So, but it's like literally the science is, this is what's mind-blowing about this. I mean, no pun intended. The science and the technology exists now. It's just getting those things together to work, right? And then the regulator saying, okay, cool, go for it. And then before we know it, Brad's going to be on YouTube doing wheelies.
I'm ready to be my own chauffeur if the red tape ever clears.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like we're talking about the tunnels, you know, we think hopefully this deregulation push with the current administration really starts getting into these types of areas.
Here's the FDA speeded up. I've got places to be.
What I'm saying. You and I both, brother. I really think the benefits for at large for the country to see just actual sci-fi stuff being achieved is going to send such a positive message to the population that says, "Yo, like, look at how awesome the future looks. Like, we can do this now. We can do this."
I wish you could take the wheel, literally. FDA, don't make me beg.
If someone from the FDA is watching this, Brad's telling you right now, get to work. Let's go. That contract, approve it. Whatever that is you're working on, just put the check mark, give it to Brad.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Whatever I can do. Go for it, Hans.
All right. Next question. Have there been any discussions of giving you the ability to directly control some sort of a robotic device, whether that's like an arm or an exoskeleton that could help you walk or move, or perhaps even an Optimus robot?
And not with me. I know that Alex is doing the robot arm. I would love an Optimus to help my wife. But I don't think that is happening soon.
Do we need to cut out the robot arm piece? Is that public knowledge? I don't know if I've heard that before.
We may need to run this by someone at Neuralink just to make sure.
Yeah.
It's public.
Yes. Yes.
There was something put out a couple months ago.
Okay.
Okay.
So that trial.
Okay. So that's freaking exciting. Okay.
That's, yeah.
How did we miss that?
I'll see if I can find it to send to you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, and we'll look it up on our end too. I mean, it's I'm sure if it's out there public, we'll be able to find it, no problem. Wow, okay. That's good to know. The Optimus one, you know, the Optimus one is interesting because, you know, if I think about humanoid robots, it seems like the humanoid robot is going to be working in factories. So like in places where OSHA exists and, you know, like just business to business sort of environments, because you can create separation between man and machine, you know, to try and limit any sort of accidents and stuff. To me, it feels like humanoid robots will start propagating through factories in the next 12 to 18 months. Now, for at-home use, there might be a pathway for a special use case sort of approvals through FDA. Like you know, Tesla could make the argument that says, hey, like humanoid robot could be a life-changing technology, life-saving technology, sort of this sort of thing where it adds so much value to a person's life that has a medical condition or whatever, but maybe they could get an approval through that. And I do wonder if like that partnership through Neuralink can open the doors for them. It's just, you know, you would have to sign like, hey, listen, this robot might go crazy. You know, like Brad might, you know, seek it on us and and it's over, you know. But I do wonder if the pathway for that will happen before public. You know, I want because the value add from having a human or robot is so gigantic. It's insane, you know.
Yeah, I do know one of the humanoid robot companies in China, like their company started because they were trying to figure out ways to help automate and or assist at-home healthcare. So whether it's Optimus or not, like that's going to be a huge focus of humanoid robotics in the next 10 years. Hopefully we can get Brad some help sooner than that.
Yeah. As long as they get the brain to work, there should be a path.
It is called convoy study.
Yeah, okay. that's the study Alex is in. It's the convoy study where they use...
This convoy study better hurry up or I'll be stuck as Tiffany's sidekick forever.
We got to get you a sidekick, Brad.
Yes.
Yeah.
In February, Neuralink put out a blog post called A Year in Telepathy that talk about him being in the convoy study and using a robot to strum a guitar.
Yeah, Nolan, Alex, and Brad, all three individuals are unable to move their arms and legs. Combined, the prime study. Perfect. Yeah, I see it right here. Okay, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
I was saying, yeah, I've definitely missed that with everything that's been going on over the past couple of months. That's a really exciting development.
Yes.
All right. So Nolan had some of his threads pull out of the target area after his surgery. Have you experienced anything similar? How is the Neuralink team doing at solving this issue?
I think Neuralink has reported that neither Alex nor I have had any thread issues. I asked the surgeon about it, and he said that they were going to put threads in a few millimeters deeper into the brain. That seems to have solved the issue.
That's really good to know.
Yep. And I know that one of the things that they thought might have been a contributing factor is that when neurosurgeons do surgery on the brain, they can control the amount of CO2 that's actually in the brain tissue to either expand or contract the brain. And a lot of times they actually reduce the amount of CO2 so that it'll contract, so they have a little bit more room to work. And that's like standard procedure. And I think that's what they did with Nolan. And they think that probably contributed to the threads then pulling back after they closed him up. And so, Brad, do you know if they talked about after that surgery, leaving the CO2 levels higher so that the brain tissue would be basically the same. It wouldn't shrink or expand. It would be normal. Do you know if they did that with your surgery?
I forgot about that detail because my brain was too busy plotting wheelies.
It's all good. We got Grok. We can ask Grok.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, yes. One thing that I just thought about this.
On
the FDA question, the. So just to remind the audience, and we'll see it again, like once we go back and we see a couple more things on Brad's screen before we wrap up and all that good stuff. So Brad communicates by typing out thoughts, by selecting answers that are intelligently curated based on what's being discussed. But the one thing you also mentioned on the FDA thing was, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but like the actual transmission of what you're thinking are words into being able to communicate. Did I interpret that correctly? I just want to make sure I go back to that. So you don't really have to type out the words. Speech. Yeah, decoding speech. So like effectively Brad is thinking about what to say and it just says it, right? Am I interpreting that correctly?
No.
Okay. We can look it up. We can look it up on our end. Or we can edit this out. It's all. Okay. Go for it, Hans.
I think we already actually answered this question I'd asked about whether or not he has the same number of threads and electrodes as Nolan. And the answer to that was yes. So then the next question, has there been any progress in typing on a keyboard directly instead of using the cursor to click on the keyboard?
The standard QWERTY keyboard is designed for two hands and to alternate sides. So it is inherently inefficient. We are thinking about different ways to get words to appear on the screen in the desired order. The keyboard is probably not the right tool for that in the long run, but the path from here is unclear. I think the recent approval for speech decoding is part of that work. Many people believe I just think words and they magically appear on the screen. I tell them to watch the video. I can just move the cursor and click. I ask Neuralink to make typing faster, but I am really asking them to make input faster. I know the standard keyboard really well, so this virtual keyboard works for now. And I don't want to learn a new layout and ask Neuralink to change the keyboard for just a marginal speed increase. So this input question is at the top of many minds, including mine. My DM are open to good ideas.
And so that's really fascinating because it kind of ties back to my misinterpretation of that the coding thing. So that the idea here is to get input to be much faster so that you are able to communicate faster, but we need a step change in what that looks like. So it's not a layout change or some sort of different keyboard is not going to make the difference. It's going to have to be a rethinking of the sort of like brain wants to do something and then speech comes out as quickly as this, hopefully as the speed of thought. But we need to like create a bridge between those two things. And, you know, humans right now use our mouths if we're able to. And if we don't use our mouths, we use our fingers. And if we can't use our fingers, you know, we might use other body parts. And in this case, Brad's using his brain, right? So, but interfacing with a keyboard. So the idea becomes like, how can we change that input for, like the thing that receives the input into something that can make it for Brad to be able to like get us close to think word. There's the word. That's the word I want, right? That's where the magic can happen.
Yeah. And it's definitely a challenge from a Neuralink perspective. I think that one of the methods that Nolan had discussed was basically learning sign language. And then even though he can't actually move his hands, but thinking through the different hand movements that would create the different letters and using that to put letters on the screen. But even that you can think about, it's slower than it's a lot slower than speaking. And so even though it would offer an increase in input speed, if there is a way to get to something that's closer to speech where you can think words instead of letters, like going from letters to words definitely increases throughput by a lot. Last question that I had written down. So when you're trying to have a conversation with your family, Brad, do you usually talk to them by typing or do you use some sort of a text-to-speech assistant?
It depends on the situation. I text Tiffany a lot, especially with mundane things. I created a few Apple shortcuts that speak and text my request with one click. So our text messages are mostly random requests to cough or eat. I use a type-to-speak app and the Neuralink chat app for conversations with people around me.
And I think it's so cool that the chat app that you have is able to be integrated with your 11 Labs voice and work so quickly.
I mean, when the audience watches this, and we're going to go back to seeing Brad's full screen here. So we went through the sort of the questions we had asked Brad, and now we're going to go back to his chatbot. So all this now allows Brad to speak live, you know, to communicate live. And again, for those that may have missed it at the beginning, this is like a Siri, Grok, ChatGPT, AI voice looking thing. Do you know... is this Grok, Brad, or is this something else? Do you know what powers this chatbot?
Yes.
Grok. It's Grok. Okay.
Yes.
So XAI, Neuralink are chilling now. They're having a good time, which is super fun. And as I'm going through here, you can see that Brad is using his pointer. He's controlling it with his brain, Neuralink. So he's kind of thinking about where he... This is like a very loose, like non-technical way of describing this. So for all the nerds out there, please don't kill me, okay? So Brad is thinking about where he wants the pointer to go. And then the pointer, then, you know, he thinks about clicking. He thinks about whatever. And then he interfaces with the computer. And then the computer generates the response or the action that Brad wants it to do. And then so the idea here becomes to make Brad's life as easy as possible. It becomes trying to figure out how to create the interface, the UI, the user interface that Brad has that he works with, how to make that as conducive to the Neuralink process to speed up or trying to make it so that it's as easy as possible for Brad to communicate or do actions with his computer or with the action, with the outside world. And so that's the challenge that Neuralink faces.
We just got the Grok system up and running, though yes. It's still a work in progress.
Got it.
I need to cough.
And knowing how, fast XAI works and knowing how fast Tesla works, I'm guessing the improvements here are going to be quick. How long ago did you get this update, this capability, Brad?
Weeks ago, and it's been a game changer already.
Got it. So had it for 2 weeks, and if you don't mind, one more time, Brad, can you click on that emoji thing with the, you can see the different modes and stuff. Yeah. And so for each one of those modes, right, so you got the clown face, which I'm guessing is sort of like trolling, right? You got the angry face, which is angry, the smiley face, happy face, the rain. What's the rain? Is that like a melancholy? Got it. Like somber, more somber. Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So they're trying to optimize for. So they want to make sure that the sort of pre-selected responses
are getting here. Wish I could have shared this sooner,
dude. Yeah, I mean it's really so cool that we get to see this, honestly, because this is such a. This is like a very, very, very unique insight into some extremely cutting edge technology.
Yes.
You know? Like there's literally one person right now that's able to do this, like on the screen. Well, I mean, there are three of you technically, but like your situation is so specific and unique.
Still getting the hang of this tech, but hey, at least I'm not accidentally ordering pizza with my thoughts.
Not yet. Never say never, Brad.
Yeah, going back to our input conversation, this is,
that
you know, because
when I'm feeling drippy, figuratively, of course, not literally.
Mm-hmm. At the drip, drip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Noland obviously still can speak. And so this is primarily something for Brad that helps him to communicate. And like we've seen him just with a few, like he can type in the words TW and then it brings up two, and then it suggested the word weeks that he then selected, and then once he got those, then he was able to pick a whole sentence that Grok had put up as a suggestion.
Yes.
And so like that reduces the amount of work that Brad has to do to convey a thought by probably
hey, this brain tech is wild, right? I'm basically a cyborg wizard now,
basically.
And so the I mean, like literally, Not even basically, like literally a cyborg, right?
You
really think about this. It's a combination of cutting edge physical technology with cutting edge digital AI. Technology.
But you're jealous of my cyborg superpowers, huh?
I kind of am. I mean, and the possibilities here, like, okay, so here's a very, very exciting thought
Don't
about
worry,
this,
I
right?
won't use my mind powers to hack your secrets. Or will I?
I mean, listen, I'm just glad we're friends now, Brad, because maybe I'll get some preferential treatment, okay? Just save me for last, all right? let the other ones go first. Save me for last. Thank you. So here's the super fun part of this whole thing, right? As the AI gets smarter and as the ability to interpret what Brad is thinking and how he's thinking about it, as that gets more accurate and better, then the melding of those two things theoretically should improve the usability of this interface dramatically in the coming months as these capabilities get smarter and better.
You want to watch everyone else die?
You know, honestly, waiting for that sentence to be written out.
Yes.
Rock didn't want to suggest that one. Too dark.
Yeah. Brad's like, come on, bro. XAI team, make it darker. Let's go. Let's get some real humor out here. My God. Oh, my goodness. Another thing I want to highlight here. So on your pointer, Brad, I can see that. So you have the dot, right? And then you have the circle outside it. And it looks like as you're thinking through the action of actually clicking or selecting, I can see the circle gets closer to the point, right? And so from my perspective, what that looks like, it's like that's your visual cue that says like, hey, you are activating the action for clicking. And as it goes from the big circle to the small circle, then that's how you know you're completing the action, right? And so that's very, very helpful to see. So here for the people seeing on the screen, Brad just pulled up the different emojis and what each of them entail. So the happy face is I'm feeling happy. Use a super cheerful, bright, or warm tone in your responses. So this is the standard tone of the responses the AI will generate based on what's being discussed that the computer can pick up. The rain is I'm feeling sad. The angry face is I'm feeling angry, irritated, upset, annoyed. The clown is I'm feeling silly. Use a sarcastic, joking, or witty tone in your responses. I feel like you probably spend a lot of time in that one, Brad. So far, getting to know you a little bit, that might be your favorite one. But I might be incorrect, but I have a feeling I'm not. Then you have the glasses, which is I'm feeling professional. So using a formal tone.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I nailed it. And then the heart one is I'm feeling religious. Use a tone talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and doctrine relevant to the conversation. So that's awesome, right? So, and I'm guessing these are personal to you, right? You selected the ones that you wanted to come up, right?
Yes.
So for yes. each person, and I can tell like the last one, the heart one, the I'm feeling religious one, of course, you know, we talked about your faith a little bit. It's like, you know, that's very unique to you. That's very unique to you and your relationship with God and your faith. So it's very fascinating to see that even with this technology, with Neuralink, you know, you would think that these cutting edge technologies are going to be very static and very boxed in, but you're getting customizability. Actually, you're getting a fair bit of amount of customizability because the responses you're getting on this chat is very much tailored to what's being discussed, right? So it's that's fascinating to see how how customizable it is. Like it's like it is kind of a sandbox.
Yeah, it's like this tech is reading my mind. Literally, how creepy is that?
Pretty freaking awesome.
Especially when you think about the fact that it is using his voice. And so it has to have all of those tones, but those tones have to actually match what his voice was. So I don't know if they were able to do that through, you know, training on audio when he was speaking in those different tones, or if that's just part of 11 Labs' ability to insert that tone in there.
No.
I think they use audio files of your voice from before, right? Yeah, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yes.
So is your voice in this window, is this an 11 Labs trained voice or is this a Grok trained voice?
Yes.
It's an 11 Labs one.
Yes.
Got it. So there is a partnership that with 11 Labs and XAI and Neuralink is in some way. They've come together and they figured out how to make this work. The API. Aha.
It is the API, and I'm basically a walking sci-fi novel now. Pretty soon I'll be debugging code with a single thought.
That's awesome. So the API, the 11 Labs API, for those that are not familiar, so yes. 11 Labs is a AI voice generator. They have a bunch of different voices. You can also train your voice. We've used it before. Man, a lot of you hated it when we were using my AI voice to narrate some stuff. Boy, did I get hate comments about that. The like ratios were high, but y'all hated it in the comments, but that's okay. So basically...
well, my favorite part was when we stopped using it and people still hated on your AI voice.
Okay, dude, thank you for bringing that up. Dude, Brad, this is what happened. So we were doing a mix. I was doing faceless videos for like a couple weeks. And some of them had my AI voice. And then some of them had my non-AI, my real voice. And I was just reading from a script, right? And then I would put out a one that would say, that would be faceless. And because it was faceless, people would automatically assume it was AI, but it was me reading it. It was physically me in front of the microphone. People are like, this AI bullshit's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Don't hate on my AI voice. It's the only thing keeping me from sounding like a malfunctioning toaster.
Bro.
Come on, give my AI voice a break. It's basically my cyborg sidekick now.
I am an AI voice lover, but I'm telling you right now, bro, like those comments they're ruthless, man. And it especially hit me in the soul when they're like, your real voice sounds like AI. And in my head, I'm like, y'all just don't see a face. So you just assume it's AI. And at that point, I'm like, okay, forget you guys. I'm going to stop reading the comments. Y'all crazy, you know? So, but I still love you. Yeah. Wild.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to show us, Brad, before we let you go here? Because I know you have, I know you showed us the app briefly before, but is there anything else you want to re-dig into, show us again, whatever is on your side, we'd love to check it out.
Boring. Okay.
Got it. So this looks
like a
soundboard.
Yeah, okay. Baby.
So... this reminds me of, do you remember? Okay, back in the day,
yes.
We used to be, there was this chat interface called Ventrilo for gamers. And they would have these videos of people like going into people's servers. It's like kind of like Discord. It was kind of like this, but like old school. And then people would use these chat rooms for gaming, you know, trying to communicate when they're gaming and stuff like that. And there were all these guys that would hack into these chat rooms, and then they would start playing like soundboards. And there was one with like Duke Nukem. And then one guy is like, I'm here to chew, kick ass and chew bubble gum, but I'm all out of gum or something like that. And then it was just so trolly. And it was exactly that. And people would thought they were being serious. Oh, it was so funny. It was so, so funny. Brad, you're in the right room, my friend.
I am just a dork with a brain implant pretending to be a cool cyborg. How's that for a plot twist?
It is. I mean, I personally love it, and you are surrounded by brothers. We're all the same here. We're all freaking loving the trolliness. It's fantastic. It's one of the best ways to live in life. and it's just having a good time and having fun, you know? But that soundboard's really interesting because then you have these like pre-canned trail of trolley stuff you can go through. But there's also, I'm sure, some helpful ones too you can select from that soundboard. In addition to that keyboard you have as well on the right top. And I'm guessing the right top one, oh, and here's the full chat. So now we can see the full chat as well. We had it up there. So that was helpful to see. So then you have the full chat. So this is like stuff we're talking about. It's capturing everything that's being said.
I am just a door with a brain implant pretending to be a cool cyborg. How's that for a plot twist?
Yeah. And then you can click on the last one and that goes back into the chat. Perfect. And then on the upper right-hand corner, those are like your most important ones, I'm guessing, right? The ones you want to have very quick access to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are like your must-haves. And when you minimize it, it's always there. I can see on the upper right-hand corner. So that's like an accessibility thing. Cool. So it's like this combination of like Apple shortcuts, Apple accessibility. And you have the Neuralink Grok interface. You have the Neuralink actual... I think you named your Neuralink Borg, if I remember correctly from seeing your
My name is Brad Smith.
Hey, Brad. Nice to meet you.
yes.
But so, okay, cool. So, and then the Apple, and again, the Apple laptop is an Apple laptop. It's not some special laptop. Yep. You have an off-the-shelf solution that you interface with Neuralink.
Brad, on that point, are you excited to use the Mac computer because you just like the Mac operating system better? Or does the Mac actually have a lot better accessibility features? Or is it both?
Yes.
Both. Dude, Mac is goated.
Yeah.
Mac is really like, I tell you, when I switched over to Mac, it made such a huge difference.
Yes.
Yeah. If they only get their innovation with their freaking devices, yeah, man, just get some AI into the iPhone or something. Man. But their computers are amazing. They really are amazing.
See, Brad's got it figured out. He has the AI and the Mac.
Speaking of tech, my Neuralink is basically turning me into a human iPhone minus the overpriced updates.
Dude, the iPhone has been the same for like 4 years.
I think it's been longer than that.
Been longer than that. Yeah. Awesome. And then what else would you like to show, Brad? Anything else you'd like to show us before we wrap the sucker up? Sure.
Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're happy to showcase her as much as you would like to.
Yeah. As long as Tiffany. Tiffany, yay! There she is. Hello.
I don't know what. Is there anything we're missing that you guys have questions on? You wanted to see them do?
From the interface perspective, I think we've gotten a really, really good rundown of everything. We got all the questions and answers. It's been fantastic. But do you mind maybe answering a couple questions, Tiffany?
Not at all.
Okay. How has this, I mean, just high level for the audience, like what is this like, man? Like this must be such a trip.
It's something I could never even imagine. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. But it's, I mean, we go through technology, like the eye gaze, and it's like, oh good, you can speak and all of these different things. And it's just a huge upgrade, like opening doors and possibilities of, oh, we can maybe do that again. Oh, we can do something else. It's never imagined being able to do some of these things.
Yeah, can you speak to, like, I imagine with something like the eye gaze, the amount of hope that you have for how things could actually be better in the future is probably limited compared to Neuralink. How does having that hope really change what it feels like day to day?
So I guess with ALS, there's like the progression is like everything is going downhill. Like there's no looking up for anything. And so now, I mean, we've been inside and not doing and going about and doing stuff that we normally would when you have three young kids going to the park, going exploring, you know, going on a drive and stopping at the park because there's something really cool that we see. And, you know, that's just, it's something we would have done before ALS, but since ALS, it's not something we even consider. And so, like, our eyes are open to different possibilities that we've just put off, that it's like, oh yeah, that's not us anymore. And all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, that can be us now.
Man, that's incredible to hear. Have you noticed any sort of like pace of improvement with Brad's capabilities from a Neuralink perspective? Like, are they coming in fast? Are they coming in slow? Kind of talk about, like, you know, does he get a new power quicker than you realized, or does it feel like I would just love to kind of pick your brain on that, like the kind of improvements that might allow Brad to experience from the technology.
So I feel like, I guess our big thing, he wanted to communicate. We've been in a relationship before ALS and he had 90% of the communication. And I was super happy with that. I'm happy to be the quiet one in the corner that doesn't say anything. And since ALS, it's like, I have to tell all the stories. I have to be the voice. And it's like, now he can have some of that back. He's really good at that. He is a fantastic storyteller. He has, you know, all the good comebacks. I have a good comeback here. They're pretty sharp, but it's like once in a long while. So I like to be silent until I can get those good ones in. But now he can, like, his personality can shine through again. Like, his brain, he's all there. And I think that's like with ALS, it's like the brain is still it's there. If people they're thinking, they just can't get it out. And so him being able to get that out is pretty awesome.
So, and that's so fascinating to hear too. It's like the person you've known, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's just now it's shining through now. Like, you're able to see it and hear it and feel it. More loudly than you could have otherwise.
Oh yeah. 100%. Like before it was like, oh, I can see that slight upturn of his lip. Tell me what you're thinking. You have a really good comeback in there. I know it. What is it? And it's like just too much work to get out. It's like, I missed out on that. He had a really snarky response.
Man, that's amazing. How are the kids, like, how are they experiencing Neuralink? What is that like for them?
It's been an amazing experience, like, for them. Like, from a mom's point of view, they got to see in all of these engineers doing this amazing work. And to them, it's like, oh yeah, hi. Like, they're talking to these super intelligent people and they're in our home and telling them about the things they're doing and the mundane stuff. And it's like, you guys, this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity that's happening every day in our home. And they get to see the possibilities, the future possibilities. But like the knowledge that's just been instilled in them just from being around it is amazing. And I see them explaining things to their friends and other adults that just don't understand. And they have this understanding and like this open mind to understand new and different things. And they're open to things that other people might think were impossible because they've seen the impossible happen.
Wow. So it really, you know, one of the things about this like technology that I think sometimes gets missed, and you know, it's sort of like it gets dismissed, or I don't know, like it's hard to wrap your head around, but it's the hope factor of it, you know, you sort of read about, right? The hope factor and sort of the positive energy and the positive force that technologies like Neuralink, and this is not exclusive to Neuralink, right? This is just about technology and making lives better. You know, oftentimes it's, you know, you might read the story and it says how much more hopeful it's made the family, how huge of a difference it's made for them, but it's very real. I mean, it's a very real thing that it makes a fundamental difference and a fundamental impact to the family fabric, right? Once these technologies you know, exist and they're able to be used. Would you feel like that's a accurate framing of the technology? Just hopeful.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, so Brad was saying we just recently went to Utah. My sister got married, and when she told us she was getting married, it's like, and she picked a date. She picked the date of her wedding based on flights from the airport closest to me, that they had a flight to her city and back the same day, with the hopes that I could possibly find somebody to sit with Brad for the 12 hours so I could go up to the wedding. And it was like, I don't know if I can leave him for 12 hours. And, you know, I haven't trained anybody how to do all that stuff. And
yeah.
Brad was quick to, well, let's figure out how to get up there. And it's like, that wouldn't have ever come to my head of, oh, let's try and travel a 12-hour drive to go to a family event. That was past my outlook. But the kids were so excited. It's like, you guys get to go see Grandma and Grandpa's house again. Like, you haven't been there. It's been 6 years since you've been there. Do you even remember? Have you been in their house before? You know, like these, like, things that they're look, it's like, oh yeah. And the thought of being able to travel and do other things with Dad, like, we have amazing friends and family that have taken him on trips and done stuff with him the last couple of years, but they want to do stuff with Dad. And that's kind of fun to have them think of that as a possibility again.
I love it, man. That's, Thank you for sharing those stories. And it's like, it is like the overwhelming, you know, sense I get is just the hope, you know, as difficult of a situation it is. I mean, it's clear that both of you are and the families are just, you know, it's like, what else can you do besides trying your best, you know, and technologies that are available for y'all to use to be tools that improve life and improve it's like, that is such a positive story to tell for the coming years. It's like there is hope. There are ways to make things better, even if it's something that might be very difficult. There are things out there that could make people's lives better. And it's watching y'all and hearing y'all tell your stories just brings so much hope.
It's very touching. Yeah. And there are things that are, you know, when you go through something like this that is so difficult, it obviously helps you to appreciate the important things in life so much better. And then I think, you know, my biggest takeaway and my favorite part about y'all's story here is that this allows you to have more access to those things that you appreciate so much now, that, you know, whether it's a family trip, whether it's the kids being able to go to the park with their dad, like these things that really are some of the most important and special things in life that we get to enjoy, that you get to have more of those special moments once again. And, you know, that blessing is not something that is lost on anyone.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is Brad had the foresight early on to figure out and define what his quality of life was and what that really meant to him.
Mm.
And, you know, it was being able to parent and be a dad still and spend time like with his kids that was worthwhile, and he could teach them things and he could serve other people. And I think figuring out what is your quality of life, like what's makes you have quality of life, or what's important to you, and your purpose changes, what you're doing things, why you're doing things. And it changes your happiness scale too. Like what things actually make you happy, and what things are you spending your time on?
Well, man, thank you both so much, honestly, for the time you've given us and the time you've given the audience. Before we wrap up, I really want to make sure I give this a shout out. I asked Brad before we went live, you know, if there's anything that he would like us to draw attention to. And he shared a link with us. This is the ALS Family Scholarship. This is a link we'll post in the comment section and the description below. This is a ALS Family Scholarship, which is going to spouse and children of people with ALS to get education for careers. This is something that's very close to Brad and Tiffany and the family. So we'll put a link for that in the description below. We'll put a link for that in the comment section below. Make sure you go check that out. We'll also link to Brad's YouTube channels. We'll link down to the one business you shared with us earlier. The link was, it was for the Mason Jar.
The Mason Jars. Yep.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put a link for that out there as well. Thank you guys so much, truly, for making the time for us. This is a, y'all are beautiful people. And I really, really thank you for your time, truly. Thank you so much. This is this was a true honor.
Well, and this is very important and pioneering work. So we're excited, obviously, for the huge blessing that Neuralink is in your life and your family. But we're also excited for the impact that the work that you guys are doing with Neuralink, what that's going to mean for lots of people.
Absolutely. And then, Brad, when you get that bot, we're buddies. Don't forget.
Neuralink.
Here we go.
Neuralink.
Okay, bye. Terminator's coming.